Animals Today Radio is made possible in part by a generous grant from International Society for Animal Rights, ISARonline.org. Welcome to Animals Today, your home for serious talk about animals. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. In late January, an incredible rescue of more than 100 dogs from a puppy mill was carried out by National Dog Mill Rescue and their dozens of enthusiastic volunteers. Truly, if you watch the video of the dogs arriving from the mill and one by one being placed into the waiting arms of the volunteers, you cannot help but to be touched emotionally by this kind of direct action that absolutely saved these dogs' lives. I really wanted to learn more about this, so I'm very pleased to welcome Teresa Stratter, founder and executive director of National Mill Dog Rescue. Welcome to the program, Teresa.
Hi, thank you.
Teresa, what is National Dog Mill Rescue?
Well, we're an organization that started 8 years ago this month. I received a one-sentence email in February of 2007 asking for help for 50 Italian greyhounds. And I came to find out it was a big dog auction, a breeder going out of business, auctioning off her entire kennel, 561 dogs, and 49 were Italian greyhounds. That is how I was introduced to the inside of the puppy mill industry and subsequently started the organization National Mill Dog Rescue.
And what are the main activities of National Dog Mill Rescue?
Well, about once a month, we go out into the big puppy mill country, Missouri, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Kansas, Nebraska, and we rescue dogs directly from the commercial breeding farms through what I would say are unique relationships, but at the end of the day, just trying to save dogs.
And Teresa, remind my listeners, what are puppy mills?
Puppy mills are large-scale commercial dog breeding farms where dogs are typically kept in small wire cages all of their life, producing puppies for pet stores. I just like to always define that Petco and PetSmart, you know, those stores where you see dogs on the weekends and stuff, those are through rescue groups. These, what I'm talking about is where baby puppies, like in the mall pet stores, are produced. And the parents live a life of virtual hell in small wire cages just for that purpose, to produce puppies, mass produce.
And so just and just to clarify and go into more detail, if you can, a little more detail for my listeners, these are inhumane, substandard facilities that just spin out many, many, many dogs.
Yes, by and large, that is what they are. The dogs receive minimal care. You know, obviously they're fed. They can't produce without being fed. And they're watered on automatic watering systems that are similar to a rabbit bottle. In terms of human contact, veterinary care, socialization, it's absolutely minimal in puppy mills. They have a job, and their job in life is to mass produce puppies for the American public. And, you know, we see any range of diseases, illnesses, injuries, genetic problems in these dogs when we rescue them. It's an American atrocity, in my opinion, a totally disgraceful industry.
Right. And so your organization, National Dog Mill Rescue, you're just ready to get calls from these mills and these breeders before they kill some of their dogs?
Yeah, I actually, realizing that buying them from the auction is certainly not probably the wisest thing, although I'm happy for every dog that gets out of that life, but you know, there's a lot of controversy around, you know, putting money in the pockets of the breeders and the auction house and stuff. So I realized early on, you know, I need to deal with these people directly and tell them, you know, you don't need to kill these dogs at 5 and 6 years old when they're no longer able to produce puppies. I can take them and give them a future. I can assure you those relationships are very delicate. I've been offered to be shot in the head a few times when I approach these people, but you know, we've got about 155 breeders that we work with, and they send me their lists, you know, every week. These are the ones that are done, and you know, we go get them. That's their only chance at, you know, experiencing life outside the cage.
Teresa, explain why providing this relief valve to the mills does not encourage them to continue breeding, knowing someone else will take on the financial responsibility and physical possession of their problems. I have to say, it doesn't seem to me like it's a way to encourage responsible behavior.
Well, you know, at the end of the day, for us, it's about saving dogs. I will say a lot of people ask me that question, you know, when you take dogs from them, do you not encourage them to replace those empty spaces with more dogs? But the truth is, most of the breeders we work with, there's a deadline on all their dogs. If they need to make space for their incoming dogs, believe me, they will make space for them whether the dogs are turned over to us or whether they're destroyed. So for us, at the end of the day, it's just about saving dogs, each individual dog giving it a future. And I, you know, I often say to people, until you're standing in front of those cages and looking those dogs in the eyes,
yeah,
I think it's hard to judge whether or not they deserve a chance beyond that cage. And so that's what we provide for them.
So do you feel that the work of taking these unwanted and spent and sick dogs from the breeders has no effect either way on the business practices of the mills or the number of mills?
Well, actually, I think, you know, I'm a great believer in everybody's efforts making a difference.
Yeah.
There are people out there that work on legislation, that picket pet stores, education, all of that. Our National Mill Dog Rescue is about rescue and education, but we support, you know, all efforts for change. And I will tell you, beyond any shadow of a doubt, when we started in 2007, there were over 3,800 USDA licensed breeders in the state of Missouri alone. That's always been the biggest puppy mill state. Today, there are less than 800. So 3,000 of those breeders have gone out of business in the last 2 to 3 years. And I know they have because, frankly, I used to get dogs from many of them. And, I mean, I used to have lists in the early days of this whole journey. I would have a list of all the time of over 1,000 dogs all the time. And naturally, we couldn't, you know, we weren't even an organization yet. You know, we couldn't come close to saving anywhere near the number of dogs on those lists. So now we are able to manage all of the dogs on our list, either ourselves or through some no-kill rescue partners we have coast to coast.
And I bet your work has an effect on the perceptions of the people in the communities you serve and how they regard the business of puppy mills. Is that right?
Oh, yes. When we, you know, when I first came back with the first 13 dogs after learning about this whole industry, you know, we started by educating right here at home in Colorado Springs. Our work is, you know, we have 320,000 Facebook fans worldwide, and anybody who follows us on Facebook will see that every day we have a really dynamic page, and we do a lot of educating, and, you know, we'll highlight a little doggy for adoption, you know, whatever our fundraiser is of the day, and then always a piece or two about education. Very important to us that people know where these dogs come from,
right. These
puppies.
Right. The recent rescue I mentioned earlier, Teresa, please describe what led up to it and what happened.
Well, in December, we had a run scheduled in December, and we had to call it because of weather. And so, you know, I was able to hold off all those breeders and, you know, tell them we're coming in January. They understand typically if the weather's bad, it's outside of the realm of what we can control. So the rescue just kept getting bigger and bigger because the lists keep coming. And, you know, we kind of piled December on top of January, and the next thing you know, it became a pretty darn big mission. Over 100 dogs and three states, and, you know, it's kind of like a three-ring circus, but, you know, there's several of us that have been doing this a long time, so we know how to get it done, and actually it was extremely special. We haven't done a run that big in a long time, so it was three rescue vehicles, 8 volunteers. We traveled 2,000 miles in just a little bit over 48 hours.
Wow.
and gathered 101 dogs. So we called the last one Dot, the Dalmatian. 101. Anyway, she wasn't a Dalmatian.
And tell our listeners your website and any messages you want to give people listening to you right now.
Our website is milldogrescue.org. It's a very dynamic site. You can go on there and learn a lot more about what we do, apply to adopt a dog from us, communicate with us through our info at milldog address, and ask questions. The basic message for me always is this. I will always, always push shelter and rescue adoption before all other things. But, you know, it's very easy to be captivated by those adorable little faces in the pet store window. And the fact of the matter is, the life of their mommy and daddy is not adorable. And it's treacherous, disgraceful, and abusive. And people need to know. Do not support that industry. A lot of people will say, but the puppy's already there. You know, I rescued it from the pet store. Well, you know, there have been millions and millions of martyrs in this industry since the 1940s. And, you know, those puppies, every time you buy one of them, even if you think you're rescuing it, you're supporting the industry. And people just need to stop and think about that.
Great message. Teresa Stratter, founder and executive director of National Mill Dog Rescue. Thank you.
Thank you.
Rolling down Highway 95, sailing through a hometown countryside. Move on over, stand aside by cruise control and overdrive. Need to take my baby.
As temperatures climb, please remember to never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute on a warm day with the windows cracked and in the shade. The temperature inside a car can climb up in a matter of minutes, and it's enough to kill your pet. If you love your pet, leave them at home or with someone you trust. Keep them cool, comfortable, and alive. And if you see a dog or other pet in a car, you may only have a moment to save their life. Here are a couple of steps that you should remember. Make an announcement in the store or business the car is parked nearest to, and call the police department or animal control right away. Remember, it only takes a minute or two on a hot day to kill an animal left inside a car. Your swift action can save a life. Dogs are unable to cool themselves the way people can. Never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute.
This message is sponsored by Advancing the Interests of Animals. You can check them out at aianimals.org. That's the letter A, aianimals.org.
Here's the problem. If you have a vacuum cleaner that sucks up dirt and dust and does nothing else, how about a vacuum cleaner that has a UV bulb in it that kills dust mites and bacteria and viruses and all those creepy crawly things that are running around? Maybe it's on your bed, maybe it's on your sofa, on your pillows, on your carpets. Well, introducing the UV Healthy Living Vac. This is a vacuum cleaner that has a stem to stern UV bulb in it, the power to kill bacteria and viruses right there. So use it like a regular vacuum cleaner, except now you know you're killing bacteria, dust mites, viruses, bacteria, anything that's gone on the floor there, those things are being killed. A UV vac is the next generation of vacuum cleaners. Now, if you've got a bed, you know that if you've got a bed that's older than 8 years old, the chances are that bed could weigh twice what it did when it was brand new. What's all the weight? Well, you don't want to know. Stuff like dust mite feces and things like that, because we don't have an appliance in the house to clean up your mattresses and pillows and sofas. The UV Healthy Living Vac is a fantastic appliance for just that reason. Go on there, get rid of the dust mites, the bed bugs with the UV Healthy Living Vac. How much do they cost? This vacuum cleaner normally costs $299. But for the first 30 people on the deal of the week, you can get it for $59.99. You heard me right, $59.99, brand new in a box. Call 1-888-877-0490. That's 1-888-877-0490. Or check it out at mycoolgadgets.com. That's mycoolgadgets.com. Imagine the power of vacuum cleaner with a HEPA filter in it. You can use it on the floors. You can pick it up, use it on a bed, use it on a sofa, but it's got the killing power of UV lamp built right in. That UV lamp will kill bacteria, dust mites, bed bugs, all those nasty, creepy, crawly things. $59.99 for the first 30 people. Call 1-888-877-0490 or go to mycoolgadgets.com.
You're listening to America's Talk Radio Network, where America talks.
Welcome back to Animals Today. Have you ever wondered what food should be served at the events and meetings of animal welfare organizations? Would you find it strange and hypocritical to eat, say, a hamburger or a steak at a fundraising event for a farmed animal sanctuary or even an animal shelter? Over the years, we have been discussing the menus at animal welfare events with Kim Sterla from Animal Place, and they run a campaign called Food for Thought. Animal Place is a California-based farmed animal sanctuary and advocacy group directed by Kim Sterla, and she now returns to the show to give us a one-year follow-up. Welcome back, Kim.
Thank you, Dr. Laura. It's good to be back.
Kim, remind listeners, what is the main situation you're trying to address in Food for Thought campaign?
Well, it's really quite simple. We're just asking animal protection groups that your mission is to protect them, to be their advocates, and don't discriminate with species. Why invest so much time and money saving dogs and cats while you're frying cows on the grill? It just doesn't make sense.
Right. And you achieved a lot in a year, including great videos and teaming up with celebrity partners and more. What are the elements of Food for Thought?
Well, we're approaching the shelters. We're really focusing on the West Coast right now, and contacting them personally, and then making available to them not only our printed material, but now our new video. Just 8 minutes, and it makes the case for why they should really consider adopting a policy. And it's geared for executive directors and board of directors to review, and it helps to really kind of give them the information they need to be making some educated decisions about how perhaps to have a little bit more of a consistent philosophy, a more consistent philosophy. Yeah.
Right, and everyone should watch the 8-minute Food for Thought video. It's really a nice and persuasive starting point. Kim, what are the benefits of serving plant-based foods at animal events and conferences?
Well, certainly it's animal-friendly, and that's our most important emphasis, but we know that it's a healthier diet. We know it's also a more gentle diet for our environment. And, you know, it's really also less expensive because you're not having the money that you normally would be putting into a meat dish. You can certainly put in towards a very delicious plant-based menu. So it's a win-win. You know, Dr. Laura, I kind of liken it to if a lung association was having a fundraising event, they're not going to be putting ashtrays on the table.
Right, right.
And so it just makes sense all the way around, is that the community really looks to their local SPCA or their Humane Society to be the spokespeople, if you will, for the non-human animals. And I think the time is really long overdue that shelters just limit their advocacy for the companion animals, for dogs and cats. You know, interestingly, and I think you know this statistic, but 98.5% of all the animals killed in the United States are farmed animals. It's the chickens and the cows and the pigs.
Yeah. And Kim, have you encountered or heard about unhappy donors, or can you report any other possible drawbacks?
You know, it's really interesting because those shelters that have adopted a plant-based diet for their events, they haven't gotten any complaints from donors. And in fact, they really have a lot of donors who are thanking them. Because now, when you do have an animal-friendly food policy, everyone can come and enjoy the event. Omnivores can come and enjoy the event, as can vegetarians and vegans come and enjoy the event. So it's really discriminating against nobody. So I think that old argument that I used to hear a lot, that, well, you know, our people wouldn't come if we weren't serving slabs of meat. I don't hear that so much anymore.
Right.
I think people have found that's just not the case.
Yeah, I agree. Kim, now you offer advice and materials on how to pass and implement the policy in shelters or other animal welfare organizations. Describe what you offer.
Well, we really offer, it's two pieces of information. One, it's a four-page handout that very succinctly explains why it is a good idea to adopt a policy that's animal-friendly. And then we also offer our 8-minute video, which makes the case, really, we're not making the case. It's other executive directors from shelters, it's from animal control and from humane societies that are making the case as to why they should consider adopting a policy and how to go about it. Also, I think where the wealth of information is located really is on our website, foodforthoughtcampaign.org. And there's just pages and pages of information for shelters, from, you know, suggested recipes that they might try out, from vegan companies where they can order, items and ask for donated items, for the steps to how to go about passing a policy, a list of all the agencies that have already passed policies. So the foodforthoughtcampaign.org has a wealth of information on it.
And the grant program has awarded its first grant. Tell us about that.
Yes, this is exciting. We have one of our supporters who loves this program so much. He wanted us to provide an incentive for some organizations to adopt a policy. So any shelter or animal protection organization that passes a policy at the board level, we will award them a $250 grant.
That's so exciting. Now,
yes, it is.
Kim, if someone is involved with a shelter or other animal advocacy organization, what are the first steps to take to introduce this idea to the management?
Well, you know, that's interesting because we do get a lot of inquiries, some from volunteers, some from donors, some from staff, some from board members. And I think the first thing really is to contact your organization, let's say if you're a supporter or a volunteer, and ask them if, in fact, they have a policy, a food policy. If they do not, as most don't, ask them if they would consider adopting one, and then ask them to review the information from Food for Thought. It's really not that complex. I think what's important is that it's brought to the attention of the executive director, and it's important that executive director bring the issue to his or her board to have them review it and discuss it. And I think more often than not, Dr. Laurie, it's just that it's not on the radar of management. It's not on the radar of the board of directors. And it is an issue that does need the full vote of the board to pass that policy, to make sure that it won't change when administrations change. There are some shelters, in fact, that have an informal veg policy, but it hasn't been voted on and approved by the Board of Directors, and therefore it's not etched in stone.
Kim Sterla from Animal Place, the campaign is Food for Thought. I love it. Kim, thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Dr. Laurie. Greatly appreciate it.
If your car broke down right now, could you pay for the repairs? Did you know the average cost to replace a transmission is $2,500 and an air conditioning compressor costs $1,600? Call AutoSave Go today and have your covered repair bills paid for when your vehicle breaks down. If your car has less than 125,000 miles and is 2002 or newer, AutoSave Go offers affordable coverage that can save you thousands in auto repair bills. Coverage pays for parts, labor, diagnostics, taxes, and in most cases, even 24/7
24/7 roadside assistance. It's easy to qualify, and unlike other companies, we offer only the best coverage, always at the best price. It is unbeatable. Call AutoSave Go right now for a free no-obligation quote. Mention this radio ad and get free 24-hour roadside assistance with your coverage. Hurry, this is a limited-time offer. For your free quote and free roadside assistance, call now. 800-260-9703. That's 800-260-9703. 800-260-9703.
Tired of trying to keep up with your credit card payments and getting nowhere? Looking for a program you can trust to consolidate all of your credit cards, medical bills, and collection accounts into one easy monthly payment? Family Financial can help you. We are a nonprofit organization that has helped thousands of individuals eliminate their credit card debt. Family Financial will contact your creditors to establish an affordable payment plan, negotiate lower interest rates and minimum payments, and saving you thousands of dollars in interest and stopping those annoying collection calls. Our friendly certified counselors will work for you, not for the creditors. Don't spend one more day worrying. Call Family Financial now. 800-208-0871. 800-208-0871. And if you call today, you will receive a free financial analysis. Call now. 800-208-0871. 800-208-0871. Not available in all states. Not a loan company.
Do you got any ideas?
I have a great idea.
Pitch it to me. Pitch it to me.
Hey, I got an idea. Well, let's hear it.
Successful businesses start with great ideas and cool inventions. Hi, everybody. I'm John Cremins, the doctor of Shopology. Join me and ACOS the Solutionist on My Cool Inventions every week. We continue our ongoing search for America's top invention. You can be the next one. Together, both ACOS and myself provide over 60 years of experience in the industry of inventing products and presenting them on shopping channels worldwide. Every show, we give our advice on how to successfully produce your product. Along with great information and featured industry guests, you'll also get a chance to listen to the inventors of some of the coolest inventions and vote on which projects you like. You be the shark. Now, if you have a $1 million idea in your head, submit it to us, and you can be selected to be on our show for your chance to be voted America's top invention. It's true reality radio, where you decide and regular American families like yours are lifted one innovation, one inventor, one American at a time.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like we did for these current Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can build your website in as little as 7 days free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
Call 800-780-8280 or go to web.com/radio. That's 800-780-8280.
No upfront charge for site build, after which ongoing fees apply. Rights to site are relinquished when canceled. Domain included during active service, after which fees apply.
You're listening to America's Talk Radio Network, where America talks.
Welcome back to Animals Today. Well, the legal back and forth on the California foie gras production ban continues. The ban passed in 2004 and instated in 2012 was just struck down. I've asked Bob Ferber to help us understand the legal twists and turns we're reading about. Bob is former Los Angeles animal cruelty prosecutor and runs Barron's Buddies, a humane education organization. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Lori. How you doing?
I'm great. Bob, what is foie gras and how is it produced?
Okay, foie gras is it's a French dish where it's supposed to be a delicacy of it's either ducks or geese, and the delicacy is the dish is produced by force feeding ducks and geese through tubes, to the point where they are literally almost about to explode. What it does is it fills their bodies up with food. The liver ends up overexpanding, because it's being overwhelmed with toxins and things like that. And so then when the liver gets to be so, you know, so fat and oversized, that's when they cook the animal. And so the delicacy is this overfed duck or goose who goes through this tortuous process of, instead of, you know, like other farm animals, we'll hear about, chickens that are freely fed and cows that graze and whatever. This couldn't be more opposite. This is where they're held in tiny cages, sometimes slammed together with these tubes that are literally forcing way more food than they can possibly take in to cause the livers to expand, and to the point where some people think that this is a delicacy, that it changes the taste of the liver. But it's a horribly cruel, inhumane process. I can't think of anything comparable in other areas of animal farming where we allow something like that to happen.
It's so sad, Bob. Bob, give us a little background on the passage of the California foie gras ban.
Well, several years ago, California became the only state to ban the sale and production of the of this food on the basis that this was cruel and inhumane, and so they passed a law that says that you can't cook it, you can't serve it in restaurants. Basically, it was pretty much a complete ban of the food in California. It didn't prevent other states from doing it. They don't have that power, but they did, for all intents and purposes, make it illegal in California. And what this did several years ago, restaurants up and down the state that were serving French, you know, these so-called delicacies, had to stop serving it. And they were outraged, but animal groups came to court and persuaded the state of California that this was cruel, and that just because it was a food didn't excuse the cruelty to the birds, and they outlawed it.
So not much happened legally until 2012 when it took effect, right?
Right. And that's very typical. We saw that with Prop 2, where one of the ways that animal legislation will sometimes go into effect is that the deals that are struck in Sacramento or wherever it happens in whatever state, where the opponents of a law will sometimes say, okay, well, we don't like this law banning foie gras, but we won't fight it too much as long as you put it into effect in 10 years from now. And there's a strategy behind that. It's not simply that they're delaying the inevitable. It gives the opposition, in this case the food industry, the time to gather lawyers, to do research, to muster up money through trade associations, so that by the time the law is about to go into effect, these people who oppose the law now have the resources to go after the law and undo it, which is exactly what happened in California.
Okay, so then the news from last month that the ban was struck down. What was the basis for this, and explain the legal issues at hand? Thanks, Bob.
Sure. There was an attempt. The basic law that people need to be aware of is that states have limited rights, the federal government has limited rights, but there are certain things that the federal government controls that the states do not get involved in. Probably the one most people read about is, you know, attempts by states like Arizona to control immigration because it's affecting their border towns, and they're saying that the federal government's not enforcing the laws. Well, the U.S. Supreme Court said, we're sympathetic to what's going on in Texas and Arizona, but that's not your job. If you don't like the way the federal government is doing it, you can't pass your own laws. That's the Fed's job. You have to go to Washington and get them to change the immigration laws one way or the other to protect people that are being damaged by, you know, illegal aliens crossing the borders. In the issue of animal welfare, Now, there's another rule that your listeners might want to be aware of. It's in the Constitution saying that the 50 states cannot interfere with interstate commerce, so that one state can't say that we don't want to do something and it would affect the ability of other states to do what they're entitled to do. A simple example is a state, let's say California, says that we don't like we don't want cardboard in California, so or with plastic bags, let's say we want to ban plastic bags. Well, the government would probably say you can ban them, but you in the supermarkets, but you can't keep manufacturers from distributing it, driving on your roads, going through your state. That would interfere with the ability of other states to do it, and each state cannot control another state in the when it comes to interstate commerce. So what happened was, about 2 years ago, the food industry tried to stop this ban on foie gras by saying that California was interfering with interstate commerce and preventing other states from doing what they, by allowing foie gras. The higher court said, no, that's not true. California can ban it, and it doesn't violate the Interstate Commerce Clause. No matter what California does, it doesn't keep New York or Massachusetts or Arizona from having their foie gras. So, fast forward to about a month ago, the food industry came up with a different strategy. They had gone to court and said, okay, forget about that, but what we're saying is that the federal government has complete control over the sale and distribution of animal products. And they pointed to the U.S. Constitution and said that this is a law like immigration, where states cannot interfere. And in this case, one of the appellate courts, not the U.S. Supreme Court, but one of the highest federal courts below the Supreme Court, said, in this case, we agree with the food industry that California does not have the right to regulate or stop the sale and distribution of foie gras in California. That is something that is akin to Arizona trying to control immigration because they think the feds are not doing a good job. And clearly, many Californians and legislators believe that the federal government is not doing an adequate job in protecting animals, so that's why they came up with the law. But unfortunately, I believe it's the Ninth Circuit, which is a federal court, said that the food industry did come up with a winning argument, and that now foie gras has to be allowed because the states do not have a right to prevent it. And now I understand that the latest thing I read was that Attorney General Camella, she said that her job is to defend California laws. I believe she said that she's going to try to take this to the U.S. Supreme Court and fight it. So right now it's illegal in the foie gras. It's legal here, and I believe it's legal in all other 49 states. But the fight's not over, and the Supreme Court may side with the animal rights people who say that, you know, just because it's food doesn't mean that, and just because the federal government thinks it's okay to torture birds so that they taste better, to fatten them up to the point of obesity and to be ill, hopefully the Supreme Court will say that individual states can make their own decisions.
Bob Ferber, thank you so much.
If you're like most people, you have lots of plans. A financial plan, an eating plan, an exercise plan, a career plan. You also need a plan for the care of your pets when you're no longer able to provide it. Every day, animals are sent to shelters, terrified and confused, or they're euthanized because their owners have become incapacitated or died. Some people don't give the future a thought. Others assume family members will care for their pets. A better way is to name caregivers and provide detailed instructions about your pal's feeding, play, social, and health care needs. But even family and designated caregivers don't guarantee that pets will have a home. Good intentions sometimes take a backseat to life's realities, such as a new spouse who doesn't like animals, a sudden desire to travel the world, or the adoptive caregiver's own infirmity. A legally enforceable pet trust offers the only assurance that your assets will be used as you wish to provide for the comfort and care of cherished animal companions. More than 40 states recognize pet trusts. Check with your attorney, accountant, or state legislator to see if yours does and how to create one. Animals Today urges you to plan for your pet's lifelong well-being. Take steps today so he or she doesn't risk becoming yet another sad shelter statistic.
If your car broke down right now, could you pay for the repairs? Did you know the average cost to replace a transmission is $2,500 and an air conditioning compressor costs $1,600? Call AutoSave Go today and have your covered repair bills paid for when your vehicle breaks down. If your car has less than 125,000 miles and is 2002 or newer, AutoSave Go offers affordable coverage that can save you thousands in auto repair bills. Coverage pays for parts, labor, diagnostics, taxes, and in most cases, even 24/7 roadside assistance. It's easy to qualify, and unlike other companies, we offer only the best coverage, always at the best price. It is unbeatable. Call AutoSave Go right now for a free, no obligation quote. Mention this radio ad and get free 24-hour roadside assistance with your coverage. Hurry, this is a limited time offer. For your free quote and free roadside assistance, call now. 800-260-9703. That's 800-260-9703. 800-260-9703.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like we did for these current Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can build your website in as little as 7 days free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
Call 800-780-8280 or go to web.com/radio. That's 800-780-8280.
No upfront charge for site build, after which ongoing fees apply. Rights to site are relinquished when canceled. Domain included during active service, after which fees apply.
Do you got any ideas?
I have a great idea.
Pitch it to me. Pitch it to me.
Hey, I got an idea. Well, let's hear it.
Successful businesses start with great ideas and cool inventions. Hi, everybody. I'm John Cremins, the doctor of Shopology. Join me and ACOS, the solutionist, on My Cool Inventions every week. We continue our ongoing search for America's top invention. You can be the next one. Together, both ACOS and myself provide over 60 years of experience in the industry of inventing products and presenting them on shopping channels worldwide. Every show, we give our advice on how to successfully produce your product. Along with great information and featured industry guests, you'll also get a chance to listen to the inventors of some of the coolest inventions and vote on which projects you like. You be the shark. Now, if you have a $1 million idea in your head, submit it to us, and you can be selected to be on our show for your chance to be voted America's top invention. It's true reality radio, where you decide and regular American families like yours are lifted one innovation, one inventor, one American at a time.
Did you know that with a bachelor's degree, on average, you can make almost twice as much over a lifetime than a person with just a high school diploma? Yes! According to the U.S. Census Bureau, you can make almost twice as much. Going back to college is now easier than ever. There are select online colleges that provide laptops to their students. In fact, there are thousands of college programs on your laptop. You can go to college anywhere and everywhere right from a laptop. Call My College Laptop and you can find hundreds of programs from accredited colleges and universities nationwide. Start a new career in law enforcement, business, information technology, healthcare, and hundreds of others. Call My College Laptop to find an online college that will provide you with a laptop. In no time at all, you can double your earning potential. Double your earning potential! Call now, 1-800-285-6834. That's 800-285-6834. 800-285-6834.
You're listening to America's Talk Radio Network, where America talks.
Welcome back to the show. Peter, what is on your mind? I see you grinning there.
I'm just thinking about, believe it or not, cat scoopers. I don't understand, but you brought home a couple of really good ones, finally.
Yeah, the other day you liked those.
Yeah.
Yeah. And,
it got me thinking. I've been griping about the cat scooping technology that we've had around the house recently and how sort of, and the wide range of scoopers available. And you, I guess you listened to me, so thank you.
You're welcome. It's better than the 99-cent store scooper, isn't it?
Well, we should really talk about that because, first of all, there are no bargains at the 99-cent store. I mean, so you think you have to describe what you obtain there.
Yes.
It is.
Right.
It's, first of all, it's flimsy as can be. And you're trying to manipulate this thing through the cat box, through the used cat box. And it's just wiggly, right? And
it's
bending.
It's wiggly and bendy and has these sharp points at the end. So if you use cat liners, it just tears right through them.
Right. And who thought of those sharp corrugated points?
You know, it sort of reminds me of eating your lunch with like a cheap plastic spoon.
Yeah.
Or one of the prongs just fall off.
Yeah, or the spoon just breaks.
That's right.
And you're just struggling, and then you look around, no one's, okay, I'm gonna eat with my hands. And that's what it's like dealing with this thing. And we've been nursing it along, hoping things will get better, like magically this will turn into something usable.
Right.
So that's at the bottom end of the, I can't imagine a worse one than that.
Okay.
And so you purchased a pretty high-end one.
Yes,
and,
finally.
And it is really, I have to say, and it is stiff and really heavy. It doesn't twist at all, and it's firm, and it feels like a real quality instrument in your hand, and I've test drove it.
Okay.
And it works great, I have to say. I've never been so excited about this in my life.
Well, I'm very glad you like it.
And it's another thing is the aesthetic of this is definitely feminine. It is not a masculine tool. It's got beautiful little curves and pastel colorings on it, and it is definitely designed for a female purchaser, I would say.
What's your point? Was that purposely done, you think?
Of course, because we know that women buy most of this stuff. They make the buying decisions on this stuff, right?
That's right.
So anyway, I certainly hope whoever handed me my medical school diploma is not listening to this segment right now, because look what's happened here.
Okay, I have another product we can talk about that I just thought of.
Okay, I hope it's an elevation from where we just were.
How about the various ways, because I'm switching species here, the various ways we pick up our dog's business?
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
Okay,
so
good.
We do the standard way. I get little plastic bags. I reuse them from the grocery store, and I just use those, right?
And you just lift, use your fingers.
Right.
And you got the bag around your hand.
That's right.
And you're actually grasping the poop.
Right.
Okay.
You like that?
I'm pretty well adapted to that. It doesn't sort of gross me out. It doesn't really. Knowing that it's the thinnest little membrane between your finger and the stuff, it's a little weird, but you feel protected.
Unless there's a little hole there that you don't realize till.
You know, the hole, that's a risk.
Yeah.
That happens. So you have to look. But the new allegedly biodegradable bags that you can buy.
Oh, that just dissolves in your hand while you're trying to do this.
That's right.
Right.
So that whole industry is sort of very, I'm very skeptical about that.
Yeah.
And, you know, in certain parts of California, at least, they're outlawing or making unavailable the use of disposable plastic bags at grocery stores and similar stores.
Yeah.
So there's our supply dwindling. We have to go out of town and come back with a bunch of these bags.
Well, we can take some surgical gloves home from the office and just use surgical gloves.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's cool.
Okay. How about the big devices you see some people carry around when they're walking their devices?
Yeah.
That like walking clamps.
Their, right.
Are they clamps with a pole?
That right. There's a scooper on a stick device. There's the. I don't know. It does. I am doubtful that these things are used more than twice in a lifetime. And then they break or they're just put away. Like, they can't work as they're advertised.
Right.
So I that's a whole other shelf space that is just going to waste. What can I say?
Okay. Well, that was a very interesting discussion.
Yes, I thought so too.
Okay. So why don't you tell our listeners about our website and where they can find all our archive shows?
Okay, so you want to go to animalstodayradio.com, animalstodayradio.com, and each week we update it with the latest show and a blog accompanying it, so you can listen to that anytime. Also, we've got the archives laid out, so you can go to any show from any year for the past going on 7 years now and listen to any of the previous Animals Today show, and you can download them or stream it and do whatever you want with it, right? And then you, of course, want to visit Advancing the Interests of Animals. That's AIAnimals.org. That's the major sponsor of Animals Today. And we've got a bunch of things going on at Advancing the Interests of Animals, a California-based nonprofit doing a bunch of interesting things for all animals, right?
We've been doing this for 7 years?
Wow. Well, 7 years, 7 years on the air.
Wow.
And it's quite a ride.
It's been fun.
It is fun.
I've had fun with you.
Thanks for letting me know at this point.
Okay, well, thank you for tuning in. This is Dr. Lori Kirshner encouraging you to nurture your love and compassion for the only other beings sharing our planet, the animals. Animals Today Radio is made possible in part by a generous grant from International Society for Animal Rights, ISARonline.org.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts and participants and not intended to and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of America's Talk Radio Network, its management, and the station. All listeners are advised that neither America's Talk Radio Network nor its affiliates and owners shall be held liable for the content of programs, including any advice given. All listeners are advised to make their own decisions after appropriate consultation with professionals who've had an opportunity to consider completely each listener's circumstances and not in reliance upon the content of America's Talk Radio Network program.